Hi guys, welcome back to the For Him podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about church hurt and disappointment and why our faith should not hinge on flawed humans. Because let's be real, let's be honest, hypocrisy definitely does exist both in believers and in non-believers, as we're all imperfect humans. And so being hurt by people who love God definitely is confusing and painful, and sometimes even leaves us questioning not only the person that hurt us, but God himself. But the truth in all of that is that God is not them, and they are not God. So let's get raw, real, and unfiltered about Christians are not Christ. This can occur in so many different forms, and I'm sure if you've ever experienced church hurt or being hurt by a believer yourself, whatever scenario that might be probably instantly came to mind. But I do want to give a few examples of this and kind of shine light on the reality of the things that occur. It could be you feeling judged in a church setting, or you hearing about a Christian leader who messed up big time, or just seriously have been hurt by someone who is a believer in God. And these are definitely all sad realities that are super unfair, but they do exist. And so if and when these things happen, I want to talk a little bit about how we keep our heart from turning cold to God when his people are the ones who make us want to turn away. I definitely wish that this wasn't the case, that people blame God or distance themselves from God because of situations that humans have caused, but it does happen, sadly. And so let's talk about it. First, people hurt people, even God's people. So when they do, there are some practical things that I kind of wrote down to help us through these things. And one is recognizing the reality that people who follow Jesus are still in the midst of being transformed. It doesn't happen overnight. And even in time, we will never be perfect like Jesus himself. And so knowing that we're all sinners, and because of this, we all need grace, which it talks about in Romans 3:23. This includes pastors and mentors and friends and believers. And just because somebody does believe in God does not mean that they always reflect him. Yes, as believers, we should do our best to reflect Christ, but we are human, and therefore we are short of Christ, and therefore there are going to be times in which we do not reflect Christ in the best light. And there are many biblical examples of this that I found, and one is David, who was a man that was after God's heart, but he still committed adultery. Or Peter, who literally, physically, and spiritually walked with Jesus and still denied him three times. And so I just essentially want to remind you to be mindful of the fact that you can be in relationship with God and still mess up badly, but this does not mean that he is the one who causes our sin. Another big thing that I want to touch on is that God is not like us. Just because his followers failed does not mean that he has failed. In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not man, that he should lie, or son of man, that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Meaning that God's character is totally different than ours, as he doesn't lie, he doesn't change his mind. What he says, he does, and what he promises, he fulfills. And there's proof of this all throughout the Bible, as well as in people's lives today. I have definitely seen it in my own life and can testify to that. And so I just want to remind myself, as well as everyone else, that God is steady, God is trustworthy, God is consistent, unlike people, even the people who love him. And that's why it's so crucial to not judge him based on human failure. I know people in my personal life who have distanced themselves from God and turned from God and blamed God for the things that someone who believes in God has done to them. And it just makes me really, really sad to see. Not to say that I don't understand that whatsoever, because I'm sure if I was in a similar position, I would definitely doubt God and feel so confused and just hurt. But I do know that what people do is not who God is, whether those people know, respect, love, fear, are walking with, believe in God or not. And so I'm kind of just making this episode in an effort to help anyone who has been hurt by a believer or hurt in the church, and remind them that people are not always good, but God is always good. And so instead of letting what people have done turn you from the one who is going to heal you, I just really, really, really encourage you to seek something that is greater than what has happened to you. And with all of that, I want to give an analogy to kind of better anyone's understanding who hasn't like fully comprehended kind of what I'm talking about or agree with me to this point, I guess. But a real life example is that if a doctor botches a surgery, you wouldn't stop believing in medicine. You would just look for another and a better doctor. So don't let a poor representative make you walk away from what is true and from what is healing. And then something that is so important for us to understand is that the enemy uses people and people's sin to separate you from God. So do not let the enemy win. Division is the strategy of the devil, and if he can't destroy your belief in God, he will work to distort your view of God through your experiences with God's people. So that's why it's so significant to stay grounded in the truth that God is good even when people aren't. Like I said earlier, his word says it best in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the devil's biggest lies that we should not let get through to us and should not believe is that if a believer of God impacts us negatively, then God might not be worth following. So I just really, really, really want to emphasize that it makes all the difference to not let a person's sin define God's character and know him for who he truly is and find that he is still holy, still trustworthy, and still love, regardless of what people who follow or love or believe in him represent otherwise. This is kind of a random little tangent that I'm going off on, but it reminded me whenever I was speaking about this that I was recently watching a show on Netflix, and in that show there was different scenes throughout an episode where friends had hurt the main character, and because of that she went to her family for healing and comfort. And then later in that episode something else happens to where the family had hurt the main character, and so she went to her friends to confide in and find comfort in. And it just reminded me in watching it, I think I literally teared up, which is just, that's another thing that the Lord has brought me. Like, I was not a very emotional person, and now something can bring me to tears so fast. Like, I'm just so sensitive to love and joy and all these different things. But it made me realize that I opened my phone and wrote in my notes. I'm sharing all my personal stuff with you guys now. I opened my phone and wrote in my notes in watching that episode that family is good when friends aren't, and friends are good when family isn't, and that's why God is good all the time. And this whole episode just reminds me of that, because people might let us down, but God will not let us down. And so seeking him and turning to him and choosing him when humans have fallen short of that is just so worth it, is, I don't know, brings all the reassurance and comfort, and just reminds us of who he is time and time again, even if we don't see that from the people that we are surrounded by time and time again. So let's talk practicals, since it's all very much easier said than done. I want to discuss how to heal and rebuild your faith when people do let you down. And the first thing is to grieve what happened. Be so honest and transparent about the pain. Don't minimize it just because it happened in the church or by a Christian. And I definitely recommend in this reading Psalms, as it's full of raw and real lament. God is not scared of our pain. He welcomes it. And we find this all throughout Psalms. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." And so don't shy away from having those conversations with God. talk to God about what happened. He can handle all of our hurts. And the second thing is separate the wound from the healer. So who hurts you is a person. Who heals you is God. Do not confuse the two. Another analogy that might be helpful in understanding is that if someone spills dirty water into your clean glass, whether it's on purpose or not, now your glass is dirty. Do you throw away the source of getting clean water again? No, you just pour the dirty water out and go straight back to that source to refill with water that is clean. And obviously in this, God is the source. So third, go back to who God really is. Read scripture for yourself instead of taking someone else's word for it. He provides us with his word, so use that resource. In this, we can look at the character of Jesus and how he treated the broken, judged, rejected, and still remained sinless. If what you experienced, the hurt that you experienced from someone that is a believer, does not reflect God, then it is not from God. It can be hard to remain mindful of this in the moment, and I have definitely been there before, but anytime I choose to return to him and his word, I'm reminded again and again of the separation between him and the hurt. And then number four is find safe community. Instead of isolating from belief or believers, find community that is mature and humble and healing. Believers who admit their flaws and continue to point both themselves and others back to God. A tip is to look for people who lead with repentance and not performance. I think this is a really good way to kind of understand someone's heart posture and their intention in their walk with God. And then know that community won't be perfect, but it should be honest. And there's definitely a difference. Number five is forgive without excusing. Forgiveness is for freedom, not for justification. You can set boundaries and still choose to release bitterness. In Colossians 3:13, it says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you," saying that we are called to and deserve to, if you think about it, forgive others, because we are forgiven time after time after time when we don't deserve it. So who are we to not forgive others? And in all of this, I'm not trying to minimize any of the hurt or pain that anyone has been through, because it's all very real, very unfair, and very justified to make you question these things. But I just want to point people back to God in the process of that, of healing from those things, and also emphasize that forgiveness isn't forgetting what happened. It's choosing to not let what happened have power over your relationships with God and his people. And so all of this, essentially, I want to point back to the importance of not letting a misrepresentation rob you of a real relationship with the one who can heal the hurt of others, or the hurt from others. And a good truth to hold on to in all of this is that God's perfection is not undone by people's imperfection. An encouraging scripture to write on your heart for when you need it, and you will, is Romans 12:21 that says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so I encourage you to join me in spending time with God in a quiet and honest space at some point throughout this week as you're reflecting on these things, and write down specific hurts and ask God to meet you in them and heal you from them. This helps us to reopen our hearts to who he actually is, regardless of what people might have shown us. I want also to thank you guys so much for listening, and if it encouraged you, and I hope it did, please share with somebody else who could use the encouragement. And if you take nothing else from all of this, I really hope that you take not to let imperfect people make you miss out on a perfect God. Keep taking those steps towards and for him.